talking about growing up spiritually. We began last week looking at the spiritual man, but really how to things you need to know to develop spiritually. If you want to head in that direction, it's like anything, we want to educate ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us, and there's a quote, you know, from the Old Testament which says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And really, we could say, and it would be absolutely correct, my people are destroyed for lack of faith, because without knowledge, you can't have faith. It's through knowledge of God. So you've got to gain knowledge to have faith. And the knowledge we want to gain is about God, how He works, what He does, how He operates. So, you know, or what He wants, and we do it having faith in Him. And so without faith, you can end up being destroyed. So we don't want that to happen. So what can we do? And we're looking at things in the Word of what can we do so we do develop or grow up spiritually. Things to practice. And so there's things that I've learned myself over the years, not just I learned by myself, but by teaching from other people and things of what to do. And over the years, by practicing these things that people taught, it has sure been helpful for in the areas of growing up, gaining knowledge of God. But like I did, and even praying in the beginning, we don't want to just gain knowledge. We want to be able to apply that knowledge, put together, because that's our success. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, faith's an act. You know, it's what you do. You take that knowledge and you apply that knowledge. And by applying it, that's how things work. That's how you get to walk in the blessings of God. You know, one of the greatest things is when the Lord said to me, I'm going to teach you how to walk by faith by using your military training. And one of the things that the Lord began to do is to teach me, especially the greatest thing was to learn was under pressure of things. You know, you don't learn as well as much as till you're under pressure to do it. Do you ever notice that? And you know, in military training, that's how they really did our training, as most of our training was done. They taught you, they'd take you to classes and teach you things, but they would take you out and put you under pressure situations. And they would just keep taking you over and over again in pressure situations till you got to the point that you would completely start to react to your training. You'd start doing exactly what your training said. And so you just keep going over till you did it. But you did it under pressure. You know, there's one thing about it. If you're not under pressure, I'll just tell you this. Most of the time, you're not going to do what you need to be doing. Pressure, most of the times, requires people to do right. I can tell you this by being a pastor now for over 30 years. Most people are not going to practice the Word till things start happening. Then they want to start doing. And then they tried to start their training program when actually they didn't need training. Now's the time you need to be able to do it. And this is what happens. People get working from behind. They're trying to go through training to get to the point they can start to practice it. Well, lots of times whatever their problem is really gains ascendancy because they have or they haven't been able to get a control on it yet of what they do. And that's why you get yourself over. And it's just like the Lord, when He told me, a number of years back here, He said, I allowed you to go through situations. He said, so you could teach people faith in the same way He had told Kenneth Hagin. In other words, you go through things. I learned to walk in it and learn to do it to find that this actually works. You know, it is not enough to go tell people, you know, about the Bible. It's not enough. To telling people about something, if you haven't practiced it, you can't do it, you have no conviction it'll work. I don't care if you saw somebody else get healed. That don't mean you're convinced you would or anybody else would. It's what you practice and do that you know that works. I can look back over even the years of even school as a kid. You know, the teachers that we had that actually did the stuff that they taught, they were the best teachers. The information givers, most of them were a pain. It was a pain being in their class. And it was. It's a painful trying to learn from them because they didn't know if it was going to work either. And they weren't any better. You know? It is good. There's nothing about that. Hey, you got to have the learning part of it where you sit under, you know, the theory of things and all that kind of stuff. That's great. You need that part. But you need to take the application of that, put it down and learn how to operate and work in it. And that's where you become convinced. And that's where God began to teach me is concerning the Word. It isn't enough to know about God. So through the scriptures, we can find out a lot of things about God and his character. But you start applying things to the scriptures, and I will tell you, God will become real to you because you'll run into him. And you'll find out that he's real. And see, that's what you want to do. You know, many people, they know about God from the scriptures, but they'll go to pray and they have no confidence because they've never run into him yet. God's not real. You know, people say, well, you know, God don't talk to me. Well, then God's not real to you yet. God to you is just some theory on some pages in a book about, but he's not real. And so you want to come to the place, I want to hear God. I want to come in contact with him. I want to associate with him. And to grow up spiritually, those are things that we need to do. Is one of the things that is good to get into the words. You want to do that. You know, begin to believe. We're going to talk about some things with the Holy Spirit and things. But things that you need to know, we talked about the fact of what God had told Joshua in the beginning concerning the law, and that same principle goes in our covenant too. Of, you know, we got to be strong and courageous too. He told Joshua to be strong, you be strong and courageous. Then he said, yeah, he told him, he said, so you can do the word. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll be a good success. You make your way prosper. You're going to prosper you, God is not. God's not going to pull money out of your pocket and give it. God's not going to go act on the word for you. That will never happen. That will never take place. That is our part to do. God has his part. He must, if I act on the word and do what it says, God must work to bring it to pass. If he doesn't, he's a fraud and a liar. See, you've got to become convinced of that. Most people want God to do his part, then I'll believe him. He'll do his part. Well, if he does his part first, that means you don't even have to do yours. Now, isn't that stupid? What would that be? But see, here's the faith part. I act like it's true before I ever see it. And if I act like the word's true before I ever see it, I will see it. I've learned that principle. God has taught me that. If I will act like the word is true before I see anything happen, I will be guaranteed I will see it happen. Act like it's true. I say it's true, and I act like it's true. I haven't seen or felt a thing. But all I have to do is act like it's so. That is faith in action. That's what faith in action is. You're acting like it's true. The word's true. It doesn't. There's no way you're not going to run into God doing that. God is going to become real to you because God will manifest himself to you, because if he don't, the Bible's a fraud and a lie. And I will guarantee you, if you do what I say in this, you'll be proved to yourself that God's real. See, most people will go to a church and go their entire life to a church. Nice person, good person, might even made a confession of faith to be born again, but though most of them will live and die really not knowing if God's really real or not. He's not really real to them. It's not real. Because they've never been taught to act in faith. They've been mostly taught to live by their senses and their sense knowledge and stuff and things. God becoming real. See, when people start to question, and people start to question, is God really so? Is he really real? When you talk to a Christian, it's like with me, you know. I remember just when I worked at Lebanon County Prison, there was a guy who was, they had problems, a young guy, he was only 19 years old, and he had tried to commit suicide a number of times, and so they were having a problem, and they had him in an isolation cell and that stuff, in one of these cells, you know, to try to keep a guy from any having anything that you can hang yourself or do anything to yourself to. And so they were having a lot of problems with him. And so the psychiatrist and stuff couldn't do anything, and nobody else could do anything. So they finally called, and they said, they asked me if I'd come in and call me the preacher. And they said, would you just come in, and we'd like you to sit with him for the day. They said, you just sit outside his cell and talk with him, whatever you talk to him, do whatever you want for the day. We'll pay you. Just come and sit with him. So I went in and sat down with him. I went in and sat down, and when I went in the morning, he was still sleeping. He was in the bed there sleeping and that stuff. And he woke up and he saw me there, and he knew who I was. I had talked to him numbers of times before. But he got up, and I just talked directly to him about trying to commit suicide. I said, "Do you know where you're going to end up when you die?" I said, "You know where you're going to end up at." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm just tired of life and I just want to get away." I said, "That's not it." I said, "Do you know what's going to happen?" He said, "Well, this is what I believe. I believe you die, you just go to nothing." I said, "Do you want to take a shot at finding that out?" Because I said, "Once you leave," I said, "there's not another opportunity to change your choice." I said, "Do you realize that?" He had never thought about that. He just thought, he said, "You go to nothing," but that's not really what he was believing. He said, "I believe that, but when I said to him, you really, once you leave, you know, if it isn't that, and there is life after death, what are you going to do? And he was like, I don't know. And so he said, do you know what's going to happen? Well, I said, I know what's going to happen to me. I said, I die, I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus. I said, I'll guarantee you that. I said, I know exactly. I said, man, God's good to me here, but I got a great life coming. And he dawned on me, he said, you know. I said, yeah, I know. Well, see, I will guarantee you, this young man, he had never had anybody ever talk to him before. And he had been talked to by ministers and all, but he had never anybody talk to him who was for sure and who just talked directly. They know what's going on. This is why many people have such a hard time in Christianity, because they've never had a minister in their life that's ever had any conviction about what he says. He talks stuff, but he's not as sure. He wouldn't talk bluntly to people about things. I just tell him, I know exactly what's happening to Ed. I know. Well, he sat there, and so the prison counselor come walking in through that's parts of the cell block, and he come walking inside, and this kid yelled down, hey! And he called the guy's name, and he looked up to him, he says, this guy knows where he's going when he dies! Let's spend the day talking with him. He never tried to commit suicide again. Never tried to. I got him reading the Bible some and some things. And I said, I don't know what happened to him after a while and that stuff to him, but got him pointed in the right direction. But one of the things is you get things into you. When God becomes real to you, you should be talking to people like there's really a God and not trying to just give principles to people. Not just trying to, we don't talk directly like God's real. You know, that's what I always love about, like, reading after Smith Wigglesworth and his sermons. Smith Wigglesworth was just so blunt about God's real and this is the way it is. But you know what? That's what gripped people. Somebody actually believes what they said. They're not coming out with another theory, another idea. Most Christians approach what they talk to people like it's another theory of another religion. There isn't any other religion. There is no other one. The rest of it is unbelief. There's only one true one, and that's the one Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the only one that gets you to heaven. All the rest of them are hellbound. It doesn't matter what they are. And you've got to just become convinced. And that's through knowing God. If you come to the place that you know God, and that's what you want to do, and that's spirituality, when you come to know what the spirit world really is. If you don't know what the spirit world is, how could you be spiritual? You can't be spiritual unless you know how the spiritual world operates. I'm amazed today. I mean, really, a lot of sinners have more belief in the spirit realm than most Christians do. I mean, watch TV, all these things, people run around hunting ghosts and everything. People in the world are believing in spirituality, and the church only offers them, be nice. That's Christianity. We're nice people. What do you believe? We ain't got a clue. I don't know. We're nice. We're nice. Yeah. We feed the poor. We just do this. I'll tell you what. We're great. But spirituality, they don't have a consciousness of a spirit realm. And you have to. We have an unseen God. He's the God of the spirit realm. That's what he is, the spirit realm. We can't see him. And we're to live. If there's not a way to live like he's real and true and come in contact with that God, this is all a hopeless thing that we're in. It's a worthless thing. Well, it's not worthless what we're in, folks. This is the real thing. This is the hook to the eternal. This is the place where people end up with a confidence. This is how Christians could be taken in Rome down the Colosseum and had lions turn on them, and they didn't act like it was crazy, they were going to die and all go to hell, and the people were astounded that they went to their deaths, you know. Not weird. Why? Because of their belief in the realm of the spirit. They believed in a spirit realm, and they thought that was more real than the realm that they live in. And so, I mean, the American culture's totally opposite of that. The American culture's all based in materialism and in the physical, and that's what it is. And so, breaking away from that, realizing that the eternal realm is the realm of the spirit that we can't see, but it's real. I always did, even as a little kid, I always believed that there was a spirit realm. I always believed in the spirit realm. I always thought that there was a realm that you can't see, and that ran the show. And it does. It's the eternal realm. And so that's what we're contacting. That's why it's these principles concerning the Word of God, is realizing when Jesus said, my words that I speak are spirit and life. They're about the realm of the spirit. They're not, like most people, it's all about just getting material things, believing God for stuff, the material realm. This stuff is about the realm of the spirit and how that spirit realm operates. how it works. It's eternal. It's always going that realm is always going to operate according to the principles of the book. It always will. Never change. Which is wonderful. That's a great place of faith. So, God, if it just think about with Joshua and him, if it worked for Joshua, who never got born again, he wasn't born again in his time, but the word that was given him under a covenant of the law would perform for him what it did, what would our covenant do for us? Oh my God, being born again, having the nature of God in you, the Holy, just think, Joshua didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. You know, we talk about being anointed. We have an anointing within us. Now, I have an anointing upon me as to teach and minister word, but every Christian have the anointing of God on them too, to minister, to do things. That's one of the things of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's about the anointing upon. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost would come on them to do things, but he didn't live in them. We have the Holy Ghost, God living inside of us. God living inside of us. We can come in contact with any time we'd like to. Any time. They didn't have none of that. None of them did. The best of them didn't have it. Look what they did with what they had. What should our covenant produce? What should it produce? The majority of the church world believes nothing. All of that's been done away with. Anything of power and glory has been done away with. That was for the Jews and for the apostles. And when Jesus left the earth, everything left with him. The whole covenant just gone. We're here just trying to get by. Now this is, you know, this is Christianity today. And sorry to say that that's not true. I mean, we need to come to the places, realize the Word, and that's why it's looking at the Word. The Word of God is supernatural, and it's to work in you supernaturally. You're a supernatural people. That's what you are. That's what you've been created to be. You're created to operate for God, God revealing Himself through in you. We talk about grace. And well, you know, and you always hear the term, you know, grace is unmerited favor. That is a terrible definition, because that's the definition from a natural perspective of what grace is. Grace is literally, and biblically, is God's ability. God's ability working in you or on your behalf to perform for you what you cannot do. And I will tell you this, God will always ask you to do things you cannot do. If you can do it, you don't need God. God will ask you, and why God gave you grace, He gave you ability to become what you could never become or do. See, like we talk about all gifts of the Spirit, well, manifestations, can anybody do those things? I can't do any of those things. Yet, I've had many times manifestations, gifts of the Spirit operate through me, do through me things I could never do. You know? And so, that's it. That's what grace is. Grace is the ability of God. You got saved, the Bible says, by grace. It was God's ability that caused you to get saved. It was God's ability. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you received God's ability. That's wonderful to know. It's something you have. Now, we want to yield to that ability of God. One of the things we do is through the Word, start sitting down, meditating on the Word of God. You're anointed of God. The Bible says that we have an anointing from the Holy One. So, you're not trying just to get one. You have one. Now, there's things you can develop in the anointing of God. And as you develop, God may have other anointings for your life to do certain things. He may have certain things to do. But you learn to develop and yield to the anointing in you. I will guarantee you, you're operating in a very low level of the anointing that's in you. Very low level. Now, this is not knocking anybody. We all operate on a low level of it. It's learning to yield to it. Over the years, I've learned to yield better. So I operate now in a higher portion than I used to. And especially, like, I had to, when God, you know, had me teaching and stuff, well, I started off as a line upon line teacher. And so, but I had to learn how to yield to the anointing, to learn how to yield to that anointing to teach. You know, there's things that they can teach you. Like, we had classes on teaching and stuff and things when I was in Bible school, and things to do, and, you know, how to put together things, and they do all that stuff. And it's always funny because the people who teach you that, they never do that. But they teach you the homiletics and all that kind of stuff. They teach you those things and never practice them. And, but, you know, they try to teach you some, you know, this is, you couldn't learn things from them. You can. But the thing you want to do is develop to where you learn to yield to the anointing in you, and start doing whatever God wanted you to do. And so I had to learn to to yield to what God was saying to teach. And first he taught me how to, you know, do some teaching, and I would just do line upon line teaching from the Bible. And then later on, when he told me that he wanted me to not teach by line upon line anymore, he wanted me to yield over and start to teach by inspiration. And that was a definitely a higher level. It took me a long time to be able to get over to that, to yield to that, because it's a completely different anointing. Because I would sit down, I study, prepare, I got all kinds of stuff. But I've learned over time, I don't set myself to teach anything specifically. When I step in the pulpit, I have to, what's he going to do with it? I don't know. I just get myself prepared in the Word. I've been studying the Word. I've been spending time with God. Now, I'm going to start talking. What does he want to do? There's sometimes there's things that I've studied that he'll want to talk about. Sometimes he'll just go off in a complete, this is what I want you to talk about. There's just things that I think, you know, he got a thing to do with it. But you know what? That was hard for me to get over, because there's a real insecurity you have. I don't know about you. Most people, you know, that's why most people, even if God wants them to teach, won't. Because they want to have everything planned out. So they feel real confident. Hey, that's our nature, folks. That's the way we are. And when you have to get over and yield to grace, grace calls you to something you're not. And that becomes the hard thing, because people like to keep control. If you want to learn to yield over in these areas and become spiritual, you're going to have to learn to yield your control over to God. And you know what? That takes time. This is why when people run into difficult problems, have a hard time operating in faith, if they have stayed in control most of the time, because now they're in a spot their control will produce for them. And they need help outside their control, and they don't know how to yield to it. That's what happens. People get sick. They don't know how to yield over to faith. They don't know how, they've always stayed within their control and things. And now it's out of their control. Nobody can do it. Doctor can't do anything for them. Nobody can do anything. And now they have to go over and yield themselves totally to God. Cast all their care on Him. Trust Him. That becomes a very difficult thing for people to do. And I know I had to work through that. Everybody does. Everybody goes this. I'm just telling you, you're going to go through it. That's what you're going to go through. And you know what God's going to do to you? He's going to take you ride to a point where I think, oh, I've got this pretty good. And he'll take me to a place where I have been in control. And now I have to yield to his control. Because nobody perfectly, but it's all part of learning. It's all part of learning. He doesn't do it to hurt me. And he doesn't do it to hurt you. It's good when he takes you there, because he takes you to higher levels to learn to trust him. And you know what? The more you learn and the farther you go in this, if you want peace in your life, you will learn to follow this process, because this is where real peace and rest come into. Because you learn to trust in God more. You will never have peace and rest. It's only found in trust. It's the only place it's found. It's found in this resting in God, just... And then you're at peace. Man, he's gonna work this out. It's okay. It's all right. But you will go through it. You're not weird. See, don't get over in a thing that you're weird, because you get under pressure of things, and there's battles that you have to go through. That's part of the learning process of the battles that you go through, learning to trust. That's just the way it is. It's what you go through in learning. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. You know, you're never going to sit down and learn enough in the Word that you're not going to ever have problems facing a problem. Because you have no experience. You'll run into problems you have no experience in. And when you run into that, these things are new. You may have the information you need, but the experience is new. And you'll be learning to apply that experience to that problem. That's normal. That's normal. And you're going to be uncomfortable. Your flesh ain't going to like it. It's going to talk to you. And the devil will come and say, surely you're a backslidden buzzard, or you wouldn't be having this trouble. And you go through those things. But there's one thing I found. When God's dealing with you on an area, especially in spiritual growth, he's taking you to an area to teaching you to walk. Understand this. He will take you through it. If you just, you're not going to have to be perfect at it going in the beginning. You're not going to have to be. He knows that. He'll be there. When I look back over the things that he took me through and taught me through, it is amazing what he did in situations. It's amazing. But he took me through things and over time taught me to what to do to get through them. So it was a learning process. It's just the same we do in school. You know, a teacher doesn't walk in teaching a brand new subject or something and throw it down and expect the kids to know it all at once. You know, if they grade them on the thing of being perfect at it and that stuff, everybody's going to fail. You know? So God is as good as a natural teacher is. And so he'll get you through. So don't get it. If you get into these situations and that stuff, always just walk in the knowledge you have. There's one thing is God only, and God spoke to me about this numbers of times. The only things he expects of me is to walk in what I know. That's the only thing he expects of me. If I will walk in what I know, he's happy. And he's taking me into something new. All he wants me to do, just follow what you know. Do what you do know. Walk by faith in that. And then if you need to know more, he'll instruct you in more. He'll bring you along in faith so you can walk in it. He'll do that. He just wants us to walk in the knowledge we have. Just flow in what knowledge you got. What you don't know, you can't do. I mean, you can't do that, what you don't know. But he'll give you the knowledge, and he, understand, you will always have the grace, the ability to do it. If he didn't give you the grace to do it, he could never expect you to do it. Never. Walking in faith with God requires God's ability. You cannot walk in faith with God on man's ability. You can't do it. Faith in God is not natural ability. No one has the natural ability to walk in faith with God. You don't have. It requires grace to walk in faith. It requires grace. So you want to yield to grace. Always be convinced of yourself. God has given you grace to walk in faith. Therefore, you can walk in faith. Anyone can walk in. Would God expect people to walk in faith? He has not given them the ability to do so. The Bible says that every man has the measure of faith. Every man has. God has given every one of us an ability to walk by faith. We have it. And you've got to become convinced of that. Like some people will say, well, I don't have faith. Yeah, you do. You just don't walk in what you got. Walk in what you got. Quit saying, I just don't have faith. Hold it. You have faith. Walk in the measure of faith you got. Walk in the ability that you have. You can't, you'll never, you don't need more if you're not going to walk in what you got. There's not a need for more. You know, you don't need more money if you're only ever going to spend the money you have. You wouldn't need any more, would you? I'm just going to deal with what I got here. So I don't need any more. So you know, I have something I want to do more. Well, then you're going to need more money. Well, grace is in the same way. Grace to walk in faith. If you walk in what you have and you want to go further, God will take you further. But you walk in the grace you have. And God has given us grace to walk in faith. And it requires it. It requires it to walk. To walk by faith. Paul said that speaking of the sinners, he was talking about men who were sinners. He says not all men have faith. Well, see, because the sinner doesn't have the grace of God in his life. He can't walk in God's faith. He can't walk in that. It's impossible for him to do it. He don't have the grace of God. It is required that we have the ability, and God's given us that ability. So that's why we go to the Word. If we do and we follow the Word, we can trust God and walk along. And do those things. We talked about the last time about listening to teaching and ministry of the Word. You always want to do that. You want to take time to listen to teaching and listen to people who teach, especially in areas, you know, especially in areas of your life. If you're working at a thing of wherever, you know, or you're having a difficulty in and you're, especially people, I notice many times people are in situations where they'll have a certain area of their life that they're struggling at. And the strangest thing that I find about that is people have an area they're struggling in, and that isn't their main place where they're studying the Word on and doing stuff. They're doing all kinds of other things. They're into all kinds of other stuff. No, whatever you have a problem in, that's the area you should be focused on in the Word, because that's where you want to walk in God's grace in that area to overcome in that situation. So if you're struggling at it, that means you want to be developed more in that. So get over into that area. Get into that area, you know. If I was dealing with a health issue, that would be a major thing that I'd be concerning the Word of God and building myself in faith in that area, listening to teaching in that area, getting myself, that would just be the norm for me. I would do that. If I was over in the areas of finances, you know, there's sometimes, Brother Hagin's book, I was dealing with some things on finances, and he had that little book of his on how God taught me to prosper, and that little book, and I would get up, I'd read that twice a day, every day, I'd read that book twice a day. See, that's what I was dealing with. You know, I didn't go over and feed on, you know, talking in tongues and doing that. But see, people are weird. People go do all kinds of other things. They do all kinds of other stuff. No, find the area. Learn to, you know, you're not going to accomplish everything at once. But the thing that's really operating against you, overcome those things. Get that thing out of the way. Because that roadblock really there keeps you from getting into a lot of areas. Because, anything, especially health or person has financial problems and that stuff, puts a lot of stress on people for stuff. And it affects a lot of areas of their lives. So get a hold of those things, whatever it is. God may show you certain things at times. I know the Lord sometimes shows me things that I need to be studying or learning on. They're saying, so what I do is I make an emphasis on that. I just get a sense I'm supposed to be studying a certain subject. I go over and spend time. That's where I get focused into. See, a lot of people get focused into a lot of different things. And, you know, I don't read through the Bible every year. And then people, you know, may do that's fine. But I don't. I just, if I get focused in an area, then I just stay over in that area. And I just get into that. And, you know, I have certain things. And I'll have certain scriptures. And I just read them over and over again. Or chapters of the Bible. Or maybe a book. And I just sit and read that thing. I read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Go do that through and reading it. And till I know on the inside I've got what I need to get. And that's what you want to do. So building yourself up. Listening to teaching. If I know somebody specifically teaching on that certain thing. If they have a book, a tape or something, or they're going to be on something or something, I listen to them and listen to what they're saying. Especially you get somebody, you know, learn to do this. God calls certain people on certain subjects. They're just called to teach it. Man, they just, you know. There's one thing as me. God's called me concerning healing. The greatest anointings I can have is talking about healing. Well, the anointing comes on me the strongest. On Sunday, I was just talking about things, the healing. I tell you, I went home. I had anointing on me on Sunday. It was so strong. I went home, man. I tell you what, something I don't normally do, but I passed away, didn't I? I went home and sat down on the sofa, and I mean, I was just worn out, man. Yeah, about 3 hours. I mean, I was gone in a deep, and I don't do that. But I'll tell you what, the anointing was on me. I was just like, wow. there's in that area, because God has emphasized that area in my life. He has emphasized that in the areas of healing. So there's anointing, but I'll listen to people teach. Now I'll turn around and listen to other people teach in the anointing, because I still, one thing, I can still learn. So I still listen to other people teach. I read other people's books on it. I still do those things because I can still learn. And but you want to, you know, learn to do that is listening to things, taking the time. That's why God put ministry gifts. We read about it last week. He put ministry gifts in the church for those purposes and that stuff. Find out, especially, I learned from Kenneth Hagin, find out the people or something that speaks to you. If you have certain books on a certain subject that speak to you, that really minister to you, then use those. Use them often. Have things that like that keep around. They're handy to you. Don't borrow those books from other people. You have to give back. You go buy your own so you have it. So you have it to read, or you have whatever it is, CDs or MP3s or something that you listen to, or you can know where you can get them or download them. But make sure you have it, that at times you can listen to those things. If they edify your faith, there's certain things that I look to. It's like I have certain things that I listen to at Kenneth Hagin. If I'm dealing, if something comes along in the areas of healing, and even I want to minister in that area. See, I know the Lord has me talking about that concerning healing. There's things that I've listened to Kenneth Hagin, and I just listen over and over again, because some stuff that he taught just talks to me when I listen to it. And so that's what I go to. And if God gives you something that talks to you, Brother Hagin, he had the things of Smith's Wigglesworth books talk to him. And he would take Smith's Wigglesworth and he would listen to him. Oh, he would read his book over and over again. And he would read them over because it spoke to him. It did something for him. And somehow you find things that just talk to you where you come from, somehow speaks to you. It doesn't mean that somebody else might be good at it, but just certain people. Man, they just grab you. You know, it's like to me, Charles Capps. If I want to look on the air as a confession of faith, man, go get a Charles Capps book out. I have some MP3s of him. I sit down, listen to those MP3s, read his book, and when you're done, man, you're just making confessions. I'll tell you, you're saying stuff. And if you need it, you know, you get in a place and you know, man, I gotta keep my confession right about this thing. I gotta keep it. Well, let's go get Charles Capp out. He'll straighten my mouth out. We'll get this thing fixed. So you do that stuff. Now, one of the things is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it talks about this as a hugely important thing. I learned this as a young Christian of this importance. Is Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and in Hebrews, it says, verse, and we're going to look at verse 24 and 25. Verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And then he says, well, how do you do this? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as you see the day approaching." Christians need to understand this. One of the things that I heard, one of the first things that Kenneth Hagin ever heard him talk about, he said, when I got born again, and he's talked about the fellowship of the believers, he said, you got to get around people that believe like you do. You need to do that. He said, if you don't, well, I was a young Christian, and he said, you need that fellowship, and it's a powerful thing. That's one thing. It's like, you know, with Christian, I have never forsaken being around believers and going to church as a Christian because of the fellowship of believers. It does something to you hanging around other Christians and believing the same way that you do. And I've watched it over the years because Kenneth Hagin also, many years ago, I heard him talk about the fact, he said, people get filled with the Spirit, you know, and stuff, and God gets them on a track, and then they just go back to their dead church. And he said, I don't get it. He said they go back. Why? Because they go back to fellowship to a much lower level. And you know what? They always end up back on that level again. You're going to end up with your fellowship. There's one thing, the people you might be around, you'd be around people to teach people and stuff like that. But your fellowship, what you're going to be close in fellowship with is around people who believe like you do. That's a hugely important. You don't forsake that. If you forsake that, it'll cost you. It'll cost you when your people forsake that. And so you want to get around that fellowship. That's one thing, like with Randy Greer and the ministers, the other ministers there. I really enjoy it because of the fellowship of like faith. It inspires you around other people that are believing, they're following God, and they're walking with God. And you know, you want that. It is, there's nothing worse than being around people who everybody else is, you know, they're not around walking in it and that kind of stuff. It's one of the things that I really appreciate. The church that God had Wanda and I go to start off to help this minister start a church. One of the most blessed things that happened to us was when Mike Arendo came to that church. Because we didn't have anybody that was on our level of fellowship. They were all Spirit-filled people. But they were basically, what I call them like Spirit-filled Baptists. You know, they have all Baptist doctrine, but they just get filled with the Holy Ghost. They really don't have Spirit-filled, you know, they don't think like the Spirit-filled life and the life of faith. They just didn't have that. They weren't bad people, but that's how where they were believing it. And we had Mike Arendo came along there to church, and it was great because we had somebody we could talk to. That was like you putting a respirator on her. All of a sudden you can breathe again. It was really good. Mike used to come almost every, they had Wednesday night church, and so Mike, you know, had to work, and he was working with the government then under the FDA, and then Mike would come, and we'd always have him over to our place for dinner on Wednesday night, and then we'd go to church, and it was great fellowship we had, and it was really good for us to have somebody that was talking on the same level. And it does wonder. You have to have that. You got to have people around you. You can't just hang out with people that. And I've never found Christians, especially Christians who don't go to church and stuff. They're never going to grow up spiritually. They never do. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Even from the standpoint, there's one thing. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. I know there's a lot of different stuff, crazy stuff going on, but we're Christian brothers and sisters. Anybody that likes hanging out, says that a Christian likes hanging out with the world more than he does the church, they're messed up and they got a real problem. Because I will tell you what, they stay out there, they will stay out there. And when Jesus comes, they'll be out there. You can't, they're not, people are going to be shocked to find out. People end up not walking in faith with God, and they've left Jesus a long time ago and they don't even know it. They just got so worldly. And the whole time, they've just got used to saying, well, I'm a Christian. But they have no more faith in God than anything. They have no more faith in God. They're just out there playing around, doing their own thing, living their own life. You don't want to go there. Anybody, you never find people who stay with the church get like that. That's why you want to stay in the areas with Christians. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're God's family. So we want to walk in that. One of the things in these areas, there's a lot of things that we could look at. There are certain things as knowing as Christians you want to learn to develop in the scriptures. The areas of especially knowing God as your Father, it's really a huge importance. It's one of the things you're going to have to develop into that area. I find it there's many times I've heard this over the years. As people would say this, and I've had people say it to me. I've heard them say it to other people. I've heard them say it to other ministers. They say, "Well, you know, I know Jesus, but I don't know my Father." And is Jesus said, "If you know me, you know the Father." And people say, "I don't know the Father." Is number one. I mean, to me, that is such an oddity of a statement. But I can understand where people come from, and that's the thing. But is the whole thing of your faith? You know, we don't pray to Jesus. We don't pray to Jesus. We pray to the Father. And when somebody says, "I don't know the Father," I know this, they got pretty much of a faithless life. Because Jesus said that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to me. You have to have confidence in your Father, God. I mean, what good would it be to have confidence in Jesus, but you don't, "Dad, we don't know." But you, the Father has to become a thing of personal you, that God is your Father. I mean, I really don't understand how you could have faith if our Father, you don't know him as being trustworthy, and you don't know and don't have fellowship with him. But we want to develop that. And one of the things, you know, really in that area is developing those things, because we fellowship, we learn to know the Father, and understanding is Jesus and the Father are one. And when we go over into the Word, is we need to understand that when we're reading the Word, it's our Father speaking too. It's what our Father's saying. It's what he is. It's not just what Jesus is. It's what he is. One of the wonderful things we have is really through learning about Jesus, we can see the Father as Jesus when he said, you know, "Thomas, hey, you've seen me," and said, "You ask me, you want to see the Father? I've been around with you all this time. You don't know the Father? You know, come on." And so in other words, when we look at Jesus, one of the things, we should see the Father clearer than they did. We need to understand, because Jesus was operating in the earth as a physical man. He was a man. You and I worship Jesus, the one sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's the resurrected one. He's a glorified God-man. And this is the one that the Holy Spirit reveals to us. He reveals to us about what Jesus did as a man, but the Holy Ghost is going to reveal to you Jesus, the one sitting at the throne, not the one on the earth. You know, the Jesus that on the earth died? See, most of the church world, they don't even really know Jesus well. We look and think we know Jesus because we read about him in the Gospels. You don't know Jesus by reading him in the Gospels. Our Jesus that we worship, you know, he's the high priest. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. This is God. He's God now, glorified God. The Holy Spirit reveals him as glorified God to you. That's what he's revealing him to you. This is the one that we use the name. It ain't some man here on the earth. And see, you want to know him like he is. The scripture says this, as he is. It don't say as he was, so are we in this world. It's as he is. If you don't know him as he is, then you ain't like him in this world. You won't operate like him. He's manifesting himself as he is today into this world, not as he was, as a man. He's glorified God manifesting through men in the earth. And so we want to know him in that manner. And it's really getting to know the Son is a huge thing. This is one of the things that you are going to need to know to grow spiritually. One of the great things to read is, you know, is learning to know Jesus as high priest. In the book of Hebrews, because that's the office that he takes right now. Right now, Jesus, the offices that he holds, he's high priest. Now, the scripture tells us we're priests of God. But he's the high priest. And we need to understand this. For Jesus to be the high priest, he cannot be in the earth. He can't be here and be high priest. It's just like in the earth, the high priest was in the temple. The high priest was the one who represented man before God. Jesus Christ is today a glorified man who stands, a man, just think about this, a glorified man stands in the presence of God today in heaven, in the temple of God. In heaven, at the mercy seat of God, there is a glorified man who is God, who represents all humanity in the presence of God. He's the high priest. See, that's what the high priest did. You know, the high priest took the blood into the holies, holies. This one guy, he went in and he represented man before God for the removal of sin. One man did that. Jesus did it. Jesus went as high priest in the holies of holies with his blood and went in and made an eternal redemption. He had to go to heaven, and that's where he has to be. If Jesus was not in heaven right now, if he actually left heaven to go, he wouldn't be in his high priest position, and our covenant wouldn't be working for us. He no representative for God. He must be there. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent for us. The Holy Spirit's in us. God, the Holy Spirit is in us to reveal Jesus to us. It's just like having Jesus here, but Jesus must be in heaven. He's the high priest. Now, just to read some scripture here from Hebrews. Hebrews in 4, the 4th chapter. Hebrews, there's a lot to say about the priesthood of Jesus. Kenneth Hagin had asked in his vision to Jesus one time, he said, he asked Jesus who wrote to the book of Hebrews, and Jesus turned around and said to him, the Apostle Paul wrote it. And I always thought that Apostle Paul did. Some say that he don't, some say he didn't. Well, I don't believe Brother Hagin lied about it. But anyhow, he wrote a lot about the high priest. So you can learn a lot reading the book of Hebrews. He was explaining what he was doing here in the earth to give you an understanding about Jesus and his ministry and Jesus as being the high priest. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And read in Hebrews about that. You need to understand his position and what he's doing, what he does. But in verse 14 of chapter 4 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So, our confession, you know, concerning, we hold fast, notice he talks about holding fast confession because of our high priest. Our faith, in this instance, talks about our confession. Don't change your confession. Hold fast to your confession of faith in Christ Jesus. For he said, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Understand, he has our weaknesses. But that doesn't mean we just stay weak. He understands, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, what? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What? If you have weakness, go to the throne and get grace. Don't stay weak. Get grace. Get grace. Hook up with the grace of God, the ability of God that works in you to overcome and do whatever it is you need to do. There's much said to learn about the high priest and how the high priest, and the book of Hebrews is really great at it. Understand Jesus in his high priestly ministry, that he represents you before God. That's what he's doing. That's why when we look at the scriptures, because if over in 1 John, John says this about him, because really, these in some ways are almost interchangeable words because it all fits together in his high priestly advocate ministry. In 1 John, the second chapter, John wrote here and said in the first verse, he said, my little children, these things I write to you. He said, so that you may not sin. And he said, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And because a lot of these really deal with his high priestly ministry. He's an advocate. It's 1 John 2:1. Because here he calls him an advocate, and really what an advocate is in today in our language, would be much like an attorney. So again, one who represents you. Now he says, he talks about here, about if you sin, see, the high priest or your representative don't change. You miss it, you have an advocate. He's your advocate before God, or he's your attorney. One of the most beautiful things that we have as believers, and this is why you have to have this should build security in you, is the fact is we have Father God who's the judge, and our attorney is God the Son. That's what I always tell people. How many times you hear it? It's a fixed system. And it is. It's a fixed system. Now think about this. Your covenant was not made by you. God made a covenant with you through Jesus Christ. In other words, God made a covenant with God. It's a fixed thing. God set this whole thing up, put His Son in the earth to fulfill a covenant for you and me, really, by an advocacy. We, by faith, receive. Become children of God on the basis of faith on a covenant that He made, installed, and did the whole thing. God died for it. God was raised from the dead for it. God paid all the penalty. God paid the penalty for what He was going to judge you on. It's mind-blowing. And now, the guy who did the thing, he becomes your attorney. And represents you before the judge who made the whole system. Do you think you'll be treated fair there? I think you'll get more than fair. But see, you got to get this. You have to learn these things and get these things in you, because these are the things that determine whether you're going to really have faith. But if your faith in God, it's how you to me, you know, God is my adversary. Most people, God's adversarial to them. He's not an advocate. God's working against them. That's the way they see it. You know, God's making me sick for a reason. God's doing this or God's doing that. God's their adversary. And then they're saying, I'm believing God. It's like, what do you believe in? You know, it's like, if God's working against me, what chance does it have? You know, am I going to arm wrestle God and win? We're going to do best out of three falls. Why bother? I'm going to lose all three of them. It's like, you know, it's dumb. So you got to get yourself. One of the things we want to look at, because dealing in this same ministry, the priesthood and the advocate, another term is used, and it's the intercessor. Because, you know, in Romans, the 8th chapter, we're going to go over and look at Romans, the 8th chapter talks about it. Romans 8 and verse 34 says this: who is he who condemns? He said, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who makes intercession. Now, let me say, well, also we're going to read another one, Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he also is able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he also lives to make intercession for them. Now, when we think of an intercession, you know what we generally think of? And I'll tell you, most ministers do. I hardly have ever heard a minister, and I don't know if I've ever heard of him. They always talk, when they talk about intercession and they talk about Jesus the intercessor, like Jesus is praying for you. You know, we don't find any place in Scripture really deals with Jesus praying for us. His intercessory ministry is His priesthood, it's His advocacy. Jesus and what He accomplished and did through His death, burial, and resurrection, and taking His blood into the holies of holies, He is the intercessor. He's the one who stands before God on behalf of man. And God withholds judgment because of the intercessory ministry of Jesus. His ministry of what He's done is an intercessory ministry. His intercessory ministry is why you can, when you're born again, you can ask the Father anything in His name. It isn't because He's going to, this is what people think. You pray and then He goes to Dad and says, yeah, Dad, give it to Him. I've heard ministers say that. He ain't doing that. You don't have to ask Jesus to go to Dad for you. Because of the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ, you can go directly to God. You go to God, you ask, He answers your prayer because Jesus interceded for me through His death, burial, and resurrection, His blood put on the mercy seat, and now He stands before the Father, and it's the right of all men to come to God. And especially, you know, we're his children. You have every right. What did he say? Come boldly to the throne of grace. He didn't say, come and ask me, and I'll go ask Dad. I'll pray and see if Dad will hold it all for you. I'll just, you know, or Dad will do it for you. See, we have this kind of thing. This is so embedded in the church. That's why, you know, the Catholics have the bit. Now, a woman said to me one time, well, you know, the reason we ask Mary, because Mary will ask Jesus, and Jesus will gonna always do what his mom wants. That's so fleshly in it. And then, you know, then he's going to go ask Dad. Well, they got the whole thing messed up, but the Protestants do too. They're trying to get, Jesus don't have to go the Father. Jesus already is at the Father. He stands before him. I am in Christ Jesus at the throne. You are in Christ Jesus at the throne. You have the right to ask anything in his name. That's because he has, and he continues, his intercessory ministry will only end after the earth is gone away and the new heaven or earth comes. He won't have to have that intercessory ministry anymore. Because we're all going to be living with God. We're all going to be living with him. There won't be that ministry. But right now, that ministry stands. The Bible tells us that he's going to turn it back over to the Father. Right now, we're operating through the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. He's this attorney there. He's the represents us. He's the intercessor. He's the high priest. See, he's still filling a lot of offices, isn't he? This guy holds some offices. But see, all authority in heaven and earth. Now think about it. All authority in heaven and earth. That's why you want to have faith in Jesus. You want to know Jesus because all your authority, everything that we operate in here is because of all of his authority. I mean, the Father made him the man. When it comes to us here in the earth, but understand this, all heaven answers to him. Think about that. All authority in heaven and earth. Who are angels answering to? Are they answering the Father? They answer to Jesus. Jesus. Father turned everything. Do you realize? And then God, we're the body of Christ? And people are sitting around wondering if God wants to do something, whether he'd use us or we're the body of Christ. People ever got a revelation of what we have and what we are? The church lives on a very low level, a very low level in our thinking of what we are. We're the body of Christ in this earth. I tell you, we need that revelation. We could ask anything in his name. You ask the Father anything in his name, he give it to you. Hallelujah. See, things you want to study and know, these things you need to know because these are the things that help develop you in your Christian walk. And I won't go on through. We're going to talk about some other things we're going to go into and because one of the things we want to know about Jesus the Shepherd, because that ties in to really the Holy Spirit in us, because we're led by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus being the Shepherd, the one who shepherds the flock, really he shepherds us today, really through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us guides us and leads us. And Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit tells us, reveals Jesus and his plans and his purposes. We'll talk about some of those things and look at what, just go over some things again we did before about the Holy Spirit. But see, you have to know those. You can't grow spiritually without knowing the Holy Spirit. You need to have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, we don't pray to him or things, but you can talk to the Holy Spirit. I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. I ask the Holy Spirit questions. I ask him things. Things I want to know and I want to understand, I ask the Holy Spirit about. His whole job is if he knows everything about Jesus, he'll know what Jesus wants to reveal to me and show to me. So I talk to him and I ask him because that's his job, is to reveal things to me. That's his job, to reveal things to you. So talk to him. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. He's not a spooky, woo, you know. He lives inside of you. He talks. You can have his wisdom and that stuff. He'll give understanding. You got to get your point. Just the fact of you'll believe. You know, if you ask him, he'll reveal things to you. He'll speak to you. And you want him to. Talk to him. Don't be surprised you don't talk to him. He don't talk to you. You know, one of the things that I found out is usually if I don't initiate, not much happens. You know, when I started off, God initiated a lot of things, but he don't anymore. Because now he expects me to. Now he expects me, you know. If you want something, I'm not chasing you around. If you want something, you ask him. I'll talk to you. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you what you want to know. But you got to go do it and learn to do that. Talk to the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have to pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't pray to him. But he is the one who reveals Jesus to us. He knows, you know, there's nothing that's not hidden to the future. You know, I always wonder, Christians are always, you know, wondering about the future. No, sir. Do you ever ask the Holy Spirit about what's going to happen? If I want to know things, I ask him. I just ask him about stuff. You'd be surprised what he'd tell you if you learn to listen to and just, you know, get over that thing. We're over and over. People are just, you know, we get these ideas about things that how your stuff is done, but most of it isn't done at all like we think. The Holy Spirit's in us to reveal things and what you need to know. Now, one thing he's not going to do is tell you about everybody else and everything else about them. You know, you'll have enough trouble with you. Sometimes in things that you don't know. Sometimes there's things he reveals to me about, you know, because of ministry, you're trying to, you know, there's things with people. But sometimes, you know, I know that there's things are wrong with something or something's right. I know, but sometimes he never tells me why, especially if some things wrong. Some things is between God and the person. The person's going to have to deal with it to straighten it out. He don't tell you what it is. Or sometimes there's things that I just know that a person's not hooking up with something. I just know it. I don't know what it is. Sometimes he reveals to me what something is. Sometimes he don't. And the Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord. There's some things that he ain't going to tell you. It's not for you to know about other people. But things about you, he'll talk to you about. Things that have to do with your future and things about you, he'll talk to you about those things. You know, he's interested in telling you about things up ahead on the road. And see, people should want to know that. Why? For your own preparation. And I think the church really misses it big in that area. People are unprepared, but they haven't ever asked to find out. You know, we haven't done those things. It's like, well, if God wants me to know, he'll tell you. No, he won't. Lots of things, if you never ask God, he'll never talk to you about it. He'll never say a thing. And if I want to know something, I just ask. You know, one of the reasons you want to learn to know, because especially when it comes to your prayer life, people have a very shallow prayer life is because they really don't know God. You know, just take yourselves for example. The better you know a person, the more you'll personally talk to them about things. And there's more personal things that you'll deal with in talking to that person because you're really knowing them. So there's things on a level that you'll talk with them. Well, it's the same way with God. It comes to your prayer life. The more personal you know God, the more personal you are with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father, it will be just completely different of how you'll talk with them. You know, I've learned over the years. It's like I can take things to God that and know that I can talk to him about certain things and certain things I'd like to see changed that don't necessarily have to be with me, but certain things I'd like to get changed, sometimes even for other people, for sinners. Over the years, I've gotten a lot of things changed for sinners. There's things in people's lives that I've gotten turned around for them. They don't know a thing about it. But I went, and I stood on the fact of what I wanted changed because of its effect on either me or loved ones or other Christians. And I'd say, I want to see that Lord changed or that person. You know, just like, you know, right now, let's use an example. My son-in-law, Ward, he works for a company. The company that he works for, they do government work and that stuff on a lot of high-tech stuff that has to do, I mean, you have to have clearances and stuff. They make parts for nuclear submarines and stuff and things. And I mean, the things that they do to the clearances and stuff, you have to work on the things that they do. And I mean, it isn't like a regular machine shop. I mean, these places, everything's x-rayed 3 and 4 times, and they do all kinds of stuff and things they do there. But anyhow, the company is owned. There's two sisters that run it. I guess their dad, or they inherited down through the family. And I know how the daughters are running the company. And they do really treat their employees well. They're really good to their employees. They're really good in what they do. And they're a real blessing. I mean, they're just a real blessing to people in general, these ladies. They have a very important position. But, you know, and so Alyssa came and told me, and she said was really concerned because the one who is really more in charge, she's having some major medical problems. They can't find out what's going on. She's having a really bad time. And, Lissa came to talk to me about it and said, she asked me if I'd pray for her. Julissa says, I don't know where, how she is spiritually. He said, I don't think she's a Christian. I don't, said, you know, said, they're just such nice people though, and they just do good. But see, there's one thing is, whether people realize it, see, and you have to get over and understand the importance. See, they hold an important position if you understand it or not. Number one, for the things dealing with the security of our country, there's not a whole lot of places in America that can do their job anymore. A lot of places we're sending stuff overseas trying to get stuff done because in America people can't do it anymore. Their business is really a hugely important thing. It's just like with Ward, some of the work that he does, there's very few people in the United States do it. Yet we sure need people to do it. But it's another thing. This lady's really good to employ. She's a real blessing. There's Christians who work for her that are blessed through them, and they're really good to them. And there's a lot of things that affect our nation that they're helping to do there. There's things that they affect Christians and that stuff and their lives and family and blessing. And you know what? I know this. I can go talk to God about concerning her health. Because I said, Lord, we need her. I said, no one in our country needs her. We need their business. I don't want her dying and another company. Because I'll tell you what will happen. Another company comes in and buys them out. There goes the personal stuff out. That'll all fly out the window. The next group will come in and buy them for the money. And for the thing, you know, getting that work done, it's going to be a whole different ball game. No, we want to keep her around. I said, God, we want to keep her in the position that she's in. We need her. See, if you know God, you start to know what you can plead to God about. And I said, Lord, I said, there's Christians. There's Christians that we need, their livelihoods, they have blessed lives because we want her around. She's blessing your people. There's other Christians, you know, Mike Krause works there for that company and stuff. And those guys, they work there in that place. But see, learning to know God, you don't come to these to understand what you can talk to God about if you don't know Him and know what He's like. Over the years, I mean, I know ministers personally who would not think you could pray for her, who would tell you, Spirit-filled ministers say, well, I don't know if God listened to you on that. She's not saved, and then he's out there. They get over there now. Why? Because they don't really know Him. They don't know Him. They know Him religiously from a book. I know what He's... There's a lot of things... I don't know everything about God. I sure have a lot to learn. But there's a lot of things I know what He's like, and I know when I was praying for this lady, I know the Holy Ghost was hooking up with me on it. God was in it. See, sometimes you can pray for things. You know, you can pray in tongues on your own. And then you can pray in tongues and the Holy Ghost hooks up with you. And if you don't know the difference, you get to learn to know the difference. Because lots of times people pray in the Holy Ghost for something and the Holy Ghost ain't hooking up with them and they don't seem to ever notice. And they wonder why things didn't turn out right. You know, I've done that over the years, but I can tell when the Holy Ghost ain't hooking up. And then I stop and say, okay, how come, Holy Spirit, you're not hooking up with me on this? See, things you need to learn to know. You need to become sensitive over in these areas because it's part of your spiritual development. These things we want to come over into. You know, what we need to understand, you realize the love of God for us is what affects our life. Not just some natural stuff, but just like here in this instant. This affects our nation, it affects our lives and that stuff. When you have somebody, you need to understand the interest God has in your life and in other people's lives. See, and if you don't know Him from that way, you don't know Him like that, you won't go into those areas. You won't step into those places. You'll wonder if, I wonder if He'll do anything. You'll be wonderland going and praying. You know, when I go, I know I can talk to Dad about those things. I know I can. And see, you want to come to that place where you understand. You know, it's one of the things in the Scripture says, come, let us plead our case together. See, this is what I'm doing. I've been pleading my case concerning these situations with Him. Over the years I've had it. Over the years I've had this happen a number of times. I've gone to the Lord over a number of days pleading my case with Him, and finally He'd say to me, what do you want to do about it? First time He did it to me, it floored me. He said, what do you want to do about it? And I stuttered for probably about 10 minutes. You know, God asked me what I wanted to do with it. And He said this to me, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. You tell me what you want. So I said, let me think about exactly what I want. And then I told Him what I want. And everything I asked for him came to pass. Within 3 days, everything I asked for him came to pass. Wow, you're in Christ Jesus. You're at the throne, folks. Do you know your position? Do you know where you stand? See, I'm not going to him in some selfish reason of my own or something like that. There's a real need here that we have. And I want this thing to turn out right. You know what? I want her to be blessed. She's blessed. She might be a percent, but she's blessing people. She's blessing people better than a lot of Christians do. And I mean, she is. I mean, she's been a real blessing to people in that stuff of things that they do. I mean, they really like their employees and stuff and take care of them and do that. And so like, man, we could use a few more of those, couldn't we? Not all Christian employers will do that. They do. But, you know, and we need them. They're blessing people. They're a blessing to the community they're in. They're a blessing. I want to keep that. We need that. See, I believe the devil's trying to steal something good from our community. So I believe he's trying to steal something. I don't want him to steal it. We got something good. Let's keep it. There's other things we'll let him have. We don't want it. but that we want to have. And I just want to share that to you. There's nothing about it. I'm not trying to give you the idea that I'm special or anything. It's just learning to know God, what He's like in His character. You'll learn to know that you can just, what's on your heart and the things that you see, He has great interest in it. And you'll be amazed how He'll hook up with you and things that you'll go to about this stuff. And I'm going to stay after Him about this thing because I don't want this thing to go south. I don't want it. We don't need it to. I mean, they're a blessing, and we want to keep that blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. So, follow them. We'll talk to more about these things on spirituality growing up, ever how God leads us, and it'll help us all. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord God, for revealing these things to us and teaching us. We thank you, Lord God, we're all learning, and surely we got a lot to learn. But I want to thank you that you're on our side. You're our teacher. You're the one that guides us and leads us. Father, thank you so much for blessing us. Lord God, I am so glad because the scripture tells you, you're not hidden from us. You're open to reveal yourself and show yourself to us. And Father, you are so gracious and so wonderful to us. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for being so patient and kind with us. Hallelujah. You didn't give us what we deserved. You gave us grace in spite of. How wonderful you are. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Surely He does deserve to have all authority in heaven and earth. The wonderful job that He performed through His death, burial, and resurrection. Standing before you today, Lord God. Hallelujah. And our great privilege to have faith in His great work, Lord God. Thank you so much. And thank you again so much for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, the one that teaches us and reveals your wonderful Son to us and the plans and purposes, Lord God, and our great desires to carry them out and fulfill them. Hallelujah. That our Master Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified. And Father, that men look to you for the great salvation that you provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it all, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.